was a story I'm sure you all know. I'm sure you remember, and I know you believe, the story of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden.
Since antiquity, one story has stood at the center of every conversation about men and women. One couple has been the battleground for human relationships and sexual identity. That couple, of course, Adam and Eve. Yet instead of celebrating them, history has blamed them for bringing sin, deceit, and death into the world. Author Bruce Feiler is known for books that explore the import in our own lives of our culture's foundational stories. His bestsellers include Walking the Bible and Abraham. They explored our shared ancestors and engaged people of all backgrounds in conversations, open conversations, during a time of discord and fear. Bruce Feiler is also the host of the PBS series Walking the Bible and Sacred Journeys. His new book is The First Love Story, Adam, Eve, and Us. And it's a great pleasure to welcome him to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us. Very nice to have you on the program.
Good morning. Thank you for inviting me. Can we just listen to that opening song over and over again? That was great.
Isn't that great?
Rhyming believe and Eve, quite deft.
Very nice. Kudos to our producer, Sarah LaDuke.
Yes, exactly.
All right. Now, what brought you to say, you know what, I've written about a lot of interesting things, but I want to tackle Adam and Eve?
Well, my process really begins at my kitchen table. I have a working wife. I have adolescent twin daughters. And that means I spend a lot of time talking about how men and women relate to each other and how that's changing. And I'm like a lot of people, I'm confused. But also, like a lot of people, I keep saying, you know, keep saying, it can't all be technology to solve this problem. There must be something from the past that's worth preserving. And a few years ago, we were in the Sistine Chapel on a trip to Rome and looking up at the ceiling and looking at Adam and Eve. And I realized, oh my gosh, this story, as you just said, has been at the heart of every conversation about men and women for 3,000 years. As kind of crazy as it sounds, maybe they have something to teach us. And then I sort of have this question, well, like, where am I going to go? Because, yes, you can go to the Garden of Eden, as I did in Iraq, and that's where this book starts, as you know. But there's not that many other places to visit. But it turns out, at every moment of these transitions, like we're in now, about families, we've gone back to the story. So Michelangelo, Milton, Frankenstein, Mark Twain, you know, Hemingway, Dylan, Beyonce, Pope Francis. So I get to go on this sort of incredible scavenger hunt from Iraq to Jerusalem to London to Rome to Hollywood to the Galapagos, trying to basically answer a simple question, which is, what can the first relationship tell us about relationships today?
To do that, you had conversations with a wide range of people, historians and guides from the Vatican, psychotherapists, archaeologists, religious leaders, women rights activists, and of course, couples.
Yeah.
When you start a journey like this, is as you say, it starts at the kitchen table. But then, do you know, and you started in Iraq, but does that bring you on a natural path, or does it become very circuitous?
Well, here's what happened. I mean, here's what happened to me with the first love story, and which my book sort of unfolds. When you go back and you look at the original story, it begins in equality, right? God forms this creation, divides it into male and female. What's true for one is true for the other. There's this kind of seesawing of power. There, you know, Adam is then created, then Eve. Eve goes and eats the fruit because she wants independence. You call that a sin if you want, but then she offers it to Adam. Adam eats too. They choose each other. They leave Eden. They could separate. They stay together and have children. That doesn't work out so well. They come together and have a third child. What you see in that story is kind of a seesawing of power, a back and forth, a kind of trying to work it out. And ultimately, they're told to be fruitful and multiply. They are. God needs them to succeed. It's a success. But what happens is, why is that not the story we remember? Because organized religion gets a hold of the story. And organized religion, of course, means men. And they basically weaponized the story to hold down women. And that, it's basically the greatest character assassination ever. But what happens is all these other people that I was just talking about, the artists, the thinkers, the novelists, the poets, they sort of begin to kind of create this rival narrative. So I'm going on kind of two journeys at once. One is the journey of what religion did to the story, and then one is this sort of rival story that kind of climaxes finally when kind of women finally can begin to speak about the story after 3,000 years, and they find themselves. So today, men and women stand equally before God. Who can deny that? And we basically have Adam and Eve to thank for that.
You talk about this in the book, and you look at this and you say that there are ways to look at this story, that Adam and Eve was the story of two people, but the story of one God, and or two human beings, but they were one before Adam and Eve. And then Adam and Eve introduced this tension, which is basically learning to live as one. And that's sort of where the trouble starts, right?
Or also the beauty.
Yes.
Or also the realism. But yes, I mean, so basically in all others, the Bible is a revolution in thought. We don't give it credit for this. But in other stories, you have a God and a God creating humans, or a God and a human. The Bible is the first story that has a man and a woman at the start of the human line. You've got this one God who gives the power of procreation to these two people, and basically then, you know, kind of steps back and says, figure it out. They make some mistakes and missteps and blunders, but ultimately they succeed. And it's that two story, the fact that they are together, that's the key. I mean, think of all the other figures of the Bible, right? Noah, Abraham, Moses, David, Jesus, Paul. They're all singles, right? But we remember Adam and Eve as a couple, not Adam. Not Eve, Adam and Eve. That's kind of their big contribution. They're connected to each other. And this story is fundamentally about connection. So cut to today, where, you know, we're hyper-connected. We have all this social media, but yet we have a crisis of connection. Loneliness is the big problem now. Opioids, right? You know, suicide. But the Bible says, the first thing God says about human beings is it's not right to be alone. The Bible gets there 3,000 years before social science. And to me, you know, you put the past in dialogue with the present. You take modern science and put it in dialogue with the Bible. The insights that come are just electrifying.
So do each of these individuals then get their due, in your opinion? Meaning, when you look at, let's say, Eve, does she have an independence then?
I think that, you know, one of the important lessons, I think, for us in this story is the balance that Adam and Eve have between being independent and being interdependent, between being individuals and being a couple. Witness, they're together. When Adam first sees Eden, I mean, Eve, he's like a guy, like, oh my gosh, you're the one, you know, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. He's like turned on, the two are naked and no shame, and like the begins gangbusters, right? But Eve is bored. She wants independence. She wants autonomy. So she goes off and she eats the fruit. What is the fruit? The fruit is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. She wants knowledge. She wants to know. She wants to have her own voice. She's, in effect, the first to lean in. And this moment is important. But as soon as she does, she realizes she wants a relationship. She goes back to Adam. Well, what does he do? He knows he's not supposed to eat this, but he eats it too. They, in effect, choose each other. This is one of the great love moments, even at the cost of being kicked out of Eden. So, you know, Eve really is the primary actor in the story time and again, but the travesty was that women were not allowed to talk about the story for 2,800 years. And when they do, they say, well, we're not going to accept this reading that men have been, you know, in effect, cramming down our throats all this time. So today, I mean, what's curious is that who could blame women for walking away from religion? But that's not what happened. Religion has become voluntary, and women are basically propping it up. Women are more involved, care more, pass on values to their children, and they're not going to accept, you know, embrace, have this story in their lives if it's just all negative about them. And when you go back and look at the story, there's no reason to think that's what the story says.
The subtitle of the book, Adam, Eve, and Us. So in our few remaining moments, let's get to the us part of how you see this relating to us and what we ultimately can do in living that story.
So let's just pick three quick examples. Number one, the story is about resilience, bouncing back from setbacks, okay? And that's what the psychologists tell us. You have to learn to mend a broken heart, to get over a rupture, to heal a wound, okay? Love is not a choice you make once. it's a choice you make over and over again. So that's really the first lesson. They stick with it. Number two, as I said, the balance between independence and interdependence. You got to, you know, love is the answer to loneliness, but you got to have some aloneness within it. You got to get the right mix of being selfish and selfless, basically. But third, I mean, look, I went to write a book about Adam and Eve, and in the first love story, it turns out I wrote a book about love. And the number one thing I learned is that love is a story we tell with another person. It's co-creation through co-narration. I have an article that's going to appear in the New York Times this weekend that says, this is the most interesting idea. I mean, I've been writing about families for 15 years. This is the most interesting idea that I've learned, that you write a story with another person. And when you hit a bump, when you get a bad time, maybe a loss of a job, a death of a parent, you know, a child disappoints, you write a new chapter in your life story. That's what Adam and Eve introduce. Like, theirs is the first joint byline. And they teach us all that love is basically a story you're continually kind of revising in real time.
And in that revising of the story, do you think we'll get better at it?
I think that we're better at the balance of independence and interdependence. I think that we are better at bouncing back. We know that you have to forgive. I think that we're better at storytelling. The problem, I think, is that relationships have become commodities right now, right? So we have, you know, reality television and tabloids, and it's sort of like, oh, you know what? If it's too difficult, I'll. We have the skills, but we don't want to put in the effort because I think we misunderstand love. We think it's like, oh, you meet once, you make a choice, it's happily ever after. We forget that sometimes it's a bit of a slog. And so really kind of what I'm saying here is if you want to strengthen and deepen your own relationship, if you – you know, if you basically in this time of division that we're in now and frankly hate, if you just need to be reminded that we all need love, if you come on this scavenger hunt, if you come on this journey with me, I think you'll be surprised. I think you'll learn something. But in the end, I think you'll be uplifted because our original story is a success. And I think it emboldens us all to keep working for success.
No matter who we are, whether we are straight or a gay couple.
Oh, absolutely. This is about connectedness. I mean, the Bible, there's got to be procreation because we've got to get the biblical story going here. But this is about the power of connection and the power of love, and that's the message.
The name of the book is The First Love Story, Adam, Eve, and Us. It is published by Penguin Press. Bruce Feiler, a great pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you very much. Best of luck with the book. Always nice to have you on the program.
It's nice to be back. Thank you for inviting me. And come on this journey, folks. I think you'll be uplifted.
Thank you very much. Bruce Feiler writes the This Life column for the Sunday New York Times and is the author of six consecutive New York Times bestsellers, including Walking the Bible, Abraham, and The Secrets of Happy Family. He's also the writer and presenter of the PBS series Walking the Bible. The new book, The First Love Story, Adam, Eve, and Us, published by Penguin Press. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.